What up, what up, what up? This is your man Dre Day from Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, and I have a public service announcement for all you listeners out there. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground in 2018, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other places people like to listen? Also, where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join. Oh, one thing, you can record your episode from your phone or computer. So again, go to anchor.fm/start to join. And I can't wait to hear your podcast. Gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's golden boy, Dre Day. What's up? What's up? What's up? This is episode 290. Episode 290 of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. But before I start this episode, I want to say thank you to a lot of people. It's too many to name. You know what I'm saying? It's too many to name, but you know, I'm going to thank three people in particular. I'm going to thank my man Keezy out of Philly for constantly checking up on me when I was going through what I was going through in April. I can't thank you enough, my guy. I can't thank you enough. I want to thank my man O'Shea out there in Naptown for constantly reaching out to me, asking me, when am I going to come back? You got fans out here. We miss you, yada, yada, yada. I appreciate that. And I want to shout out my cousin Will. The same reasons. So those three, I definitely feel the need to shout them out. Because while I was away, because again, if you've been paying attention, I stopped podding in the beginning of April. I was going through so much at that time. I had lost two close family members back-to-back days. RIP to my cousin Junior. And RIP to my Aunt Cheryl, my favorite aunt for that matter. Those two losses were so heartbreaking, so gut-wrenching, that podcasting was the furthest thing from my mind. When that happened, I just said, you know what? I'm gonna just give podding a break. It's the last thing on my mind. Then as the weeks progressed, it's like, okay, just do a whole postseason wrap up when it's over. Just do a whole recap when the season is over and then take it from there. So the NBA season has come to a close. A new NBA champion has been crowned. So since that's the case, we can now call this the return of the Dre. You know how you have Return of the Mac. Outkast had a song called Return of the G, which is Return of the Gangster. And now Sportswear with Dre Day podcast has a return of the Dre. So with that being said, congratulations to the Denver Nuggets on winning the 2022-2023 NBA championship. I'm just going to say this. This season, the Denver Nuggets earned my absolute respect. They've earned it. They've earned it in ways you can't even imagine. For years, I have not respected them. I always felt that they was a playoff team, but they'll always get out the first round and then be bumped in the second round. The whole nine yards. That's basically how I felt about them. This year, they exceeded that. Even when they was the number one seed, I still didn't respect them. I'm like, okay, number one seed. We done seen this movie so many times with teams being number one seeds. And then come playoff time, they fold like cheap sheets. Denver didn't do that. They took care of the Minnesota Timberwolves quick, fast, in a hurry. Very well expected. I think they beat them in a... I'm not sure if they swept them or if it was a gentleman's sweep. I think it was a gentleman's sweep, if I'm not mistaken. They play Phoenix in the second round. That one was the round where I thought they would lose. I thought Kevin Durant, I thought Devin Booker would handle business, and I thought that they would get the Nuggets up out of here. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. They really earned my respect when they took out the Lakers. It's not the fact that they took out the Lakers. It's how they took them out. They swept the Lakers. And I watched that series very carefully. In fact, game 3 and game 4, I was actually on vacation in Florida visiting my son. And I watched that game very, very, well, that series very closely. Another reason why I chose not the pod, because I was, you know, preparing for a vacation. Not only did you get the Lakers out of here, but you swept them in 4 games. And the way they did it, you can make a case that probably the only game they could have lost was probably game 2, if I'm not mistaken. But they went out there, got a clean sweep on LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers. We then now get to the NBA Finals. And I caught it. When Miami beat Boston, I said Denver will beat them in 5 games. The only thing I got wrong was the games that Denver would win. I said Denver will win their first 2 at home. I said they will lose 1 in Miami, and they will come home and close it out. The only thing they got wrong was they lost 1 at home. But they finished it in 5 games, like I said they would. It was a gentleman's sweep. So congratulations to them for that. They have earned my respect. They've earned it. And I'm not a tough person to please. I am a tough critic in case y'all haven't noticed it already. But for what the Denver Nuggets have done this season, they've earned my respect because they finished the deal. They got the job done. So they've earned my respect. With that being said, it's only right that I give credence to some of these players on this team. I'm going to get to Joker. Don't worry, I'm going to speak about Joker. I got a lot to say about Joker. But there's plenty of other players that deserve some praise right now, and I'm going to give it to them. First off, Jamal Murray. I've always had respect for his game. I just felt that he took it to a whole nother level in that bubble year. And myself, I will admit, I thought he was only playing that way because he was in the bubble. I said, okay, when the season goes back to normal, when the scenery is normal, he won't be playing like this. Unfortunately, he started getting injuries. In April of 2021, he suffered an ACL injury. You already know, once you suffer an ACL injury, you're done for the year. October of this year, last year, he plays his first NBA game in 539 days. Think about that. 539 games. That's almost 2 years he didn't play basketball because of an injury, because of an ACL injury. And then he showed out in that Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. He went to work. Listen, I know Joker is the triple-double machine. I get all of that. But the Nuggets don't win that. Well, I mean, the Nuggets were probably going to beat the Lakers anyway. But they don't sweep the Lakers without the performance of Jamal Murray. He gets my absolute respect. So congratulations to him. DeAndre Jordan. Obviously, we all know what happened with the Clippers and him and Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. They were supposed to be one of the most talented teams the NBA has ever seen. Lob City, this, that, and the third. Unfortunately, no championship ever came to fruition with that team. He has a stint with the Mavericks. Obviously, that didn't play well. He comes to Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie. He's basically the third fiddle. I don't know what happened with him in the rotation, but he went from being the starter to being a bench warmer to then being bought out and then going to, I forgot exactly which team he went to, but then he wound up in Denver. And now he's an NBA champion. Now, yes, he's not the role player of old, but people need to understand this. Even if you're not a starter, even if you're a role player, what you have to understand is these role players that come off the bench, they're very much important to this team as the starters. You don't know what's going on that basketball court in practice. You don't know how much effort you're pushing your teammate to get them better than what they are. You're pushing them to the limits at practice. So for us, you know, we could sit here and be on some, oh, what did he do? He ain't do shit in the playoffs. He bragging about having a ring, but he ain't do nothing. We don't know what they did in practice. We don't know. So he gets my absolute respect for now being able to be an NBA champion. He has a ring before Chris Paul, who's had multiple opportunities to get a ring. He has a ring before Blake Griffin, who we all know at this case is basically a shell of himself at this point. I'm just having fun making fun of him. But I'm very proud of DeAndre Jordan. Michael Porter Jr., another player who has been injury prone since he's made the league. played a good role on this team. Had some games where he balled out this season, even in the playoffs. He's now an NBA champion. I remember years ago, the Knicks, the fans were clamoring and hoping that the Knicks would draft him. Thank God they didn't. Because now he's with the Nuggets, and now he's an NBA champion. Jeff Green. When you talk about trials and tribulation, this is a man who damn near lost his life due to a heart condition. Multiple surgeries. Doctors even told him that he wouldn't last this year. He would only have this year expectancy. Look at him now. And played a good role in helping this Nuggets team win the championship, for that matter. So he definitely gets my absolute respect, for that matter. You better believe it. You better know it. Aaron Gordon, former slam dunk champ, did his thing with Orlando. Leaves Orlando, comes to Denver, another person that played a good role on this team. Very underrated. Very underrated. Obviously, all the attention is Joker and Jamal Murray. Rightfully so, but Aaron Gordon played a good role these playoffs. He had to guard KD. He had to guard LeBron. He had to guard Jimmy Butler and held his own. Congrats to you. And last but not least, the Joker. Nikola Jokic. Congratulations to you, my man. Congratulations to you. I really didn't have respect for him. I felt he was stat padding, two-time MVP in a row. Okay, you'll get your two MVPs. You won't win nothing. You'll be like Steve Nash in my eyes. Have two straight MVPs and don't do a damn thing with it. This postseason, this is his postseason numbers. He averaged 30 points a game, 14 rebounds, 10 assists. That is a triple-double. You know how Westbrook averaged a triple-double for a whole season? Well, Nikola Jokic averaged a triple-double in the postseason. He beat KD and Devin Booker in 6 games. He swept LeBron and AD. He beat playoff Jimmy. He has the most triple-doubles ever in the postseason. Most assists ever for a center. He is responsible for the first 30-point, 20-rebound, 10-assist NBA Finals game. He is the first person to do that. LeBron's never done that. Jordan's never done that. Kobe, God bless the dead, has never done that. Giannis has never done that. Shaq has never done that. Kareem never did it. Nikola Jokic has. And now he has his Finals MVP. So now, 2 MVPs, NBA champion, Finals MVP. Now the questions can come up to, where does he rank on the all-time list? Well, I'll say this. Remember when the NBA did their NBA 75? Joker was left off that list. Rightfully so, he was left off that list. I didn't think he was ready to be on there yet. I guarantee you when the NBA 100 comes around, he'll be on there. Some people was making the case that he was 76 or 77. Well, some people were saying Klay was 76, then he was 77. Well, guess what? When NBA 100 comes, he will definitely be on that list. Now, when it comes to all time, I can't really say where I would place him. But when it comes to all time centers, I know where I got him. Nikola Jokic is definitely in the top 10 of all time. He is in the top 10 of centers. Yes. Now, where do I rank him? That remains to be seen. You got Kareem. You got Shaq. You got the late, great Mr. Bill Russell. You got Wilt Chamberlain. You got Kareem. I mean, you got Hakeem the Dream. You got David Robinson. You got Moses Malone. Then you got Nikola Jokic. Hell, in my honest opinion, I might have to put Jokic over Moses Malone. So, yes, he's top 10. But hell, I'll throw him in the top 6, top 7 of all-time centers. Then the other centers that could pop up, you know, you got Patrick Ewing. You know, you got Mutombo. You could throw those names in there to, you know, to cap off the 10. But Joker is definitely on. Oh, the late great Willis Reed. I forgot about him. Because a couple of my boys had to check me on that. So shout out to my man Ray Ray. I had a moment there where I forgot about the late great Willis Reed, but I'm glad you checked me. But yes, Nikola Jokic is definitely in the top 10 of all-time centers. You can make a case that he's top 7. You can make a case. I am very much happy for Joker. And he's so humble. So humble. He just goes out there and play the game. I'm very much happy for Nikola Jokic. Mike Malone, head coach, I'm happy for him as well. It wasn't that too long ago where I was like, hell, maybe Denver needs a new voice. Maybe they need a new coach. Some teams, sometimes that shit happens. You're listening to the same shit every season. Maybe you need a new voice. I thought that with Denver. Obviously, I was wrong. So Denver Nuggets, I will admit, I was wrong. Y'all humbled me. Y'all have earned my respect. Forgive me. Forgive me. I got it wrong. Congratulations to y'all. I can't express it enough. Congratulations. I cannot express it enough. Y'all made me eat crow this season. Y'all made me eat crow. So, again, congratulations to the Denver Nuggets on winning the 2023 NBA World Championship. Now the question is, can they go back-to-back? Because, of course, when you win that one championship, I mean, listen, I'm going to always respect it. I don't care if you don't go back-to-back. Hell, the Spurs never won back-to-back. But we got 5 of them things. They never went back-to-back, but they're very well respected around the league. The Denver Nuggets are now in that elite class of winning an NBA championship. Now, mind you, it took almost damn near 50 years to do it, but they did it. So congratulations to them for that once again. Now let's get into the playoff recap. I ain't gonna spend too much on this, but I will say this. As much as I respect Miami, I'm kind of disappointed in them. They lost in a gentleman's sweep to Denver. You were up 3-0 against Boston. You almost lost that series. I don't know. There might be a few pieces missing in Miami. I know there's some rumors going around now that Dame might be looking for a trade and one of his desired spots would be Miami. That would be dope. But then the question is, what do Portland get in return? Because trust and believe, if Dame was to leave Portland, Miami, if Dame was to leave Portland for Miami, Portland is going to want some of those pieces back. Trust and believe that. I don't think Jimmy Butler would be a part of that deal. I wouldn't be surprised if Bam was in that deal. I wouldn't be surprised if a healed Tyler Hero was in that deal. And draft picks, I wouldn't be surprised. But I do think that Miami needs some changes. I truly do. They was in the conference finals 2 straight years. For 4 years, they've been in 2 NBA finals and 2 conference finals. They was in the NBA finals in the bubble with the Lakers, which they lost. Then they lost to Boston, I think in 2 back-to-back conference finals, if I'm not mistaken. No. I'm trying to think. I'm froze for a moment. That don't happen to me too much in podding. That tells you how long it's been. But y'all get what I'm saying. They've had a lot of close encounters reaching to find the ultimate destination, and that's winning the championship, and they haven't done it. Some changes might need to come. Who knows? The Celtics, I will say this. I was very impressed that they were down 0-3 and they came back to take it to 7 games. My only hiccup, my only issue with that was that they lost at home. Because me, honestly, I thought it was a foregone conclusion that since it was 7 games and it was in Boston, they would win. I talked big shit before that game. And they played and they made me out for a fool. Not only did they make me out for a fool, they got dog walked in that game. I think the game was over in the 3rd quarter, to be honest with you. There might be some changes that need to happen in Boston too. Hell, they throwing the idea of Jaylen Brown possibly being traded. Listen, it comes a point in time when your name constantly gets thrown in trade talks that you're going to start feeling like you're being disrespected. And I think Jaylen Brown at this point feels like he's being disrespected by the Celtics front office. You can't really fault him. You really can't. We all know that Jason Tatum is the guy on that team. Everything starts and ends with him. The question is, does Jaylen Brown understand that? Is he on board with that? You understand what I'm saying? Al Horford, does he come back? We already know the coach is coming back. Who knows? Some changes might need to be made in Boston. But I'm not going to lie, though. With the way they handled the Udoka situation, I'm kind of glad they didn't go to the finals. Because I ain't like the way they handled that. They tried to sabotage this man. Shout out to the Rockets for giving him another job. But they was trying to handcuff this man. Oh, yeah, we'll suspend you. But, yeah, you can't go nowhere else to talk to nobody else. We're going to keep your rights. You can't talk to nobody. But shout out to Houston for giving him an opportunity. I don't think he'll win there, but I'm just glad to see that he's back. He'll be back coaching. I still ain't forgive him, though,
for, you know, mistreating the lovely, beautiful Miss Nia Long. I still ain't forgive him for that, but I digress. Phoenix. I think next season they'll have a better year. They'll have a full season with KD. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Hopefully Devin Booker can stay healthy. And can we please, 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 I have to say this. Can we please stop comparing Devin Booker to Kobe Bryant? Can we please? Stephen A. Smith, can you please stop that? Because he's not Kobe Bryant. No, he's not. He is not Kobe Bryant. He is nowhere near Kobe Bryant. He doesn't have the Mamba mentality like Kobe. He doesn't have the fire and desire to win like Kobe Bryant. And most importantly, he ain't the defensive player that Kobe Bryant was. So if you're going to start calling somebody the next Kobe, at least have some defensive, have some first or second defensive team notches under your belt before you can do that. Because Devin Booker can score. He could rip your heart out, no doubt. But he ain't nothing like Kobe Bryant. So please, stop it. Just stop it. I'm telling you, man, these motherfuckers get on TV and they get paid all this money and they be talking some dumb shit. Dumb shit. And they think we just gonna gloss over it and be okay with it. Fuck that. I don't like that they fired Monty Williams. I ain't even gonna lie to you. Now, I get it. I just said a while ago, I thought Mike Malone, maybe Denver might have needed a new voice. Obviously, I was wrong with that because now they're NBA champions. I hate the fact that Monty was the scapegoat in this situation and then he wound up losing his job. He's in Detroit now. He got a big bag for it, but I don't like that firing, to be honest with you. Speaking of firing, Milwaukee. This was a team where a lot of people had high expectations for them this season, myself included. Before the whole debacle with Brooklyn, I had Brooklyn playing Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, I was wrong with that. Milwaukee gets bumped in the first round. After the closeout game, somebody had asked Giannis about, was this season a failure? And he went into this little kind of tirade about, oh, you know, he's taking care of his family. He's still a winner, and it's that and the third. I get all of that. Yeah. But listen, Giannis. When it comes to this NBA season, when you have high expectations for a team and you do not win it, your season, my man, is a failure. This is why we respect Derek Jeter so much. I'm gonna use him as a prime example. El Capitan of the New York Yankees. We respect him so much because he knows what the ultimate destination is every season. The expectation for my Yankees every season is to win the World Series. Anything less than that is a failure. Anything less than that is a disappointment. So yes, he played with my Yankees from 1995 to 2014. Damn near 20 years. We got 5 of them championships. Yes, I'm saying we because I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Yes, they're 27-time world champions, but I say 5 because I've been around, I've lived, I've been outside for all 5 of them. Championship parades and all. Skipped school, called out of work, just to go to my Yankees championship parade. So I can speak on this. Five of those seasons were successful. Everything else was a failure. Everything else was a disappointment. Why? Because we did not win the championship. Before the season started, the Yankees were always a favorite or one of the favorites to win the World Series. So if you're a favorite to win a championship and you don't win, your season, my friend, is a disappointment. Your season is a failure because you did not finish the deal. So yeah, Giannis, you said all the good things. You said all the right things. But for y'all to be a number one seed and for y'all to be a favorite to win the NBA championship, and then you get bumped in the first round to a play-in team on top of that? Yes, Giannis, your season was a disappointment. Your season was a failure. Fuck all that shit you were saying at that podium. Your season was a failure. Yes, you still got your, yes, you still got your baby. Yes, you still got your wife or girlfriend. Yes, you still got your money. Yes, you still got all of that. But you did not win the championship when there was high expectations for you. So yes, your season was a failure. Who else? The Knicks, I don't really expect much from them. I don't like Randle. I hope the Knicks can trade Randle. Because he seems to have a problem with Brunson now being the man on this team. Now, granted, a few years ago, you won Most Improved Player. You made a few all-star appearances and you thought the Knicks was your team. At that time, maybe so it was. But Jalen Brunson in 1 year has taken your spot as the Knicks' go-to guy. RJ Barrett never was a fan of his. I hope the Knicks get rid of him. Brooklyn, I don't expect much from Brooklyn. Let's just call it what it is. I don't expect much from them. I'm just glad that my borough has a basketball team at this point. Philly. Listen, I'm glad Embiid won MVP. I got that right. I called that before the season started. Before the season started, I said that Joel Embiid will win MVP, and I got it right. But that closeout game against Boston, man, oh, man, oh, man. Once again, Doc Rivers had either a 3-1 or 3-2 lead in the playoffs, and he choked it away to the point that it cost him his job, which I knew was going to happen. I said that if he loses this series to Boston, and he didn't make matters even better, the fact that you got dog walked in the last game too, oh yeah, you definitely was losing your job. Definitely. James Harden, look, we don't know what's going to happen with him. But once again, I've called it. Y'all can sit here and say, oh, he's one of the best shooting guards the game has ever seen. When it comes to playoff time, we know what's going to happen with James Harden. He is going to choke. And this season, he did no different. He was a no-show for the most part in that series with Boston. He probably had one or two games where he actually showed up. The rest of the series, he was to shit. Especially that closeout game. And this is the guy that y'all said is one of the best players the game has ever seen. You try to tell me he's better than Reggie Miller? See, what's wrong with you motherfuckers is y'all let those numbers fool you. Yeah, he can average 30 in his sleep. Yeah, he's caught a couple of bodies on the basketball court. But when it comes to crunch time, when it matters the most, he disappears. And it's quite often. I would take Reggie Miller over James Harden any day of the week, twice on Sunday. Can I get an amen? Absolutely. I'm trying to think of another team to talk about. Memphis. Oh, them Grizzlies. Oh, them Grizzlies. Remember when the season first started? And that toxic chick on ESPN, Malika Andrews, I believe she was interviewing Ja Morant. And she had asked him, you know, what's his expectations for the season this year? And he said that he was only concerned with Boston. And she was like, that nobody in the West. He was like, oh, no, we fine in the West. Oh, yeah? You was fine in the West? You was a 2 seed and got bumped by the Lakers, who was a play-in team. And I believe they lost that in 6 games. Dylan Brooks was talking so much shit to the point where he said he don't respect nobody unless they drop 40 on him. Well, guess what? That last game where they got dog walked, and yes, I'm going to say it. I'm calling it Staples Center. I'm not calling it that new shit. And Staples Center, they got dog walked by 40 points. To the point where a few days after their season was over, they let it be known that they wasn't bringing you back. Now, it was unfortunate they tried to use you as a scapegoat. Because little did we know, it was a whole lot of drama going up in Memphis. Which brings me to Ja Morant. Ja. Not Ja Rule, Ja Morant. I just don't get it with this young man. He has all the talent in the world. Very well gifted. But for some reason or another, this guy really thinks that he's a gangster. Few months ago, you get caught on IG with a gun. You get suspended for 8 games. They said that he was admitted to some rehab place in Florida. I don't know what type of rehab place this is. I don't know. I think it's a rehab place where you just sign in and then you leave. Because I don't, like, rehab places that I know about, you stay there for about a good week, for a few weeks or so. This dude was probably there for probably a few days and then left. Got suspended for 8 games. Loses a lot of money in the process because being that he was trying to get the Supermax, all he had to do was make an All-NBA team. There's 3 of them. All you had to do was make one of them. You didn't make not one of them because you were injured. You trying to be a gangster on social media. And then we fast forward to a few weeks ago. Another video was leaked with him on IG flashing a gun. Now, the updated version is supposedly it was a toy gun. My whole thing is this. When you met with Adam Silver the second time, if it was a toy gun, why didn't you just admit it to him then? Why did we have to wait after the fact for them to say, oh, it was a toy gun? Nobody is a fool. That gun was real. And what we need to stop doing is pacifying Ja Morant. Stop with the whole, oh, he's young. He's young. He's still a kid. Fuck that. LeBron wasn't acting this way when he was in the league. And LeBron was in the league much earlier than Ja. Remember, LeBron came into the league in high school. He wasn't acting like this. Kobe came into the league in high school. He wasn't acting like this. This young man has so much generational wealth at his disposal. And he wants to lose all of that just to prove that he's a gangster? These so-called friends of yours would kill to be in your position. No pun intended. They would They would love to be in the position you in. And it seems like you want to go back to the hood. Now, Adam Silver said that he was waiting for the finals to end before he makes his decision on how many games Ja Morant is going to miss. And my honest opinion, I say sit him out to All-Star break. I'm not going to go as far as to say send him out for the whole season. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far. Because my whole thing is this. This is your second time having this problem. Your second time. Your first time you got off easy. And then a few months later, you have the same fucking problem again. You need to sit out half the season. You need to sit out half the season. That's your punishment. Sit out half the season. I'm not going to go as far as to say, oh, have him miss the whole season. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far. Because I'm hearing a lot of people say that. I'm not going to go that far to say, sit him out the whole season. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go as far to say, he need to sit out the whole season for this. Nah, absolutely not. I would not say that. I would not say that. What other team is it worth talking about? Oh, Sacramento. Sacramento. Listen, they took the Warriors to 7 games. They had their chance to win that series, but obviously experience kicked in and the Warriors won that series. Sacramento was going to be a force in the future. Now, if through the grace of God, they could somehow get some veterans on that team, they're going to be a problem. Mike Brown is one hell of a coach. One hell of a coach. He has my absolute respect. De'Aaron Fox, absolute respect. Sabonis, absolute respect. They're going to be a force in the future. And I knew that they would make the series interesting with Golden State. I just knew they would. I knew Golden State would win. I knew it wouldn't be easy for them. And it wasn't. It took them 7 games. Steph Curry had an historic game 7. And they needed all of that just to close out Sacramento. They needed all of it. Speaking of the Warriors, where does the Warriors go from here? Does Draymond stay? Does he leave? Listen, I think if they lose Draymond, they don't. If they lose Draymond, there is no NBA Finals for them. Because he's the heartbeat of that team. He's the heart and soul of that team. He's the emotional leader of that team. So if Draymond does not return to the Warriors, which is a possibility now, I think the Warriors does not have a deep playoff run in them next season. Unless they know some shit that I don't, where they might be bringing somebody in. If they lose Draymond, I think the Warriors are in trouble. The Clippers are going to be the Clippers. Kawhi is going to always stay hurt. Paul George is going to always stay hurt. So for me, they've now turned into what the Nuggets was. Just a playoff team, one and done. That's how I'm viewing the Clippers right now at this point. And that's basically it as far as the teams that I had expectations for coming up to next season. Minnesota is Minnesota. I don't expect much from them. OKC was 40-42. When Holmgren comes back next season, if through the grace of God he can stay healthy, him and Shea is going to be some shit. New Orleans, what they going to do with Zion, man? What? Listen, Zion don't want to be there. It's crystal clear he doesn't want to be there. CJ McCollum was hurt towards the latter end of last season. Well, towards the latter end of this season. And still played. Now, yes, they didn't make the playoffs. I believe they was in the play-in. But guess what? He still played. There's rumors about the Pelicans possibly trading Zion or Brandon Ingram. I'm not trading Ingram. If I could trade Zion, so be it. Because again, I don't believe he wants to be there. And then now with this bullshit going on with him and a porn star, and then him having a girl and having her pregnant, the whole shit that's going on with that, yeah, I think it might be time to trade Zion. I think it just might be time. Because I honestly don't believe he wants to be in New Orleans. I honestly don't think that. And on top of that, he's never available for them. He's never available for them. The 2019-2020 season, he played 24 games. He missed 48. It's 82 games in the season. The 2020-21 season, he played 61 games. Okay. Missed 11. Okay. 2021-2022. Missed 90 games. Now, yes, it's 82 games of the season, but he missed the whole season. He even missed the playoffs. And now this year, he's only played 29 games. He missed 54. In total, he's played 114 games. And he's missed 203. Why do I need you on my team? Why do I need you on my team when you can't even play? Why? Why do I need you? Now, the question is, what teams out there got something for Zion? That's going to be the interesting part. We're going to find out soon because these trade talks, they're going to get even higher after the draft. Or who knows? The draft is coming up. Who knows? It might really start spiking because of the draft. Who knows? Only time will tell. Shout out to my Spurs for getting the number one draft pick. Victor, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. He got my middle name as his name, Victor. So y'all know who I'm talking about. It's clear he's going to San Antonio. Now, I read somewhere it said Coach Pop is currently not under contract with San Antonio. But they're going into the season as if he's going to coach. I think he is going to coach. I don't see him not wanting to coach this young man. Now, do I think San Antonio will do something this upcoming season? Probably not. But I will say this. When the summer league starts, I would play Victor only one game. And I wouldn't even let him play that long. Because we saw what happened with Holmgren. He wanted to play in the play-in, got hurt, and he missed the whole season. Victor, with his height, he's bound to get injured. So once he gets drafted by San Antonio, and then once the summer league starts next month, I would have him play only one game. And it won't even be that long. I'll probably have him out there for 10, 15 minutes. Give a sample size. Y'all want to see him? Wait till the regular season. Or wait till preseason. And I probably wouldn't even have him play that much in preseason either. You got to protect your investment. Because this is a highly talked about number one draft pick. Now, I'm not going to go as far as to say, oh, he's the most hyped number one draft pick in history. They must have not forgot about LeBron. Now, but I get it. You know, we live in a social media era now, so a lot of things gets hyped because of social media. Nah, I think LeBron is still the most sought out and most hyped number one draft pick in the history of the game. Rightfully so, though. He was hyped for a damn good reason. Obviously, when his career ends, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to sit here and say he's the GOAT, but when his career is over, because that paint is still dry. It's still dry. He's still paying. He will definitely be a top three, top five player of all time, but he won't be number one because that would be Michael Jeffrey Jordan. But that's it with my recap for the playoffs. I've gave the Nuggets their roses. I've apologized to the Nuggets. I've given my playoff recap. I've spoken about Ja Morant. I've spoken about Zion Williamson. Y'all didn't think that I was going to come back and not speak about the WNBA. Y'all didn't think that, did you? Y'all did not think that your boy was going to make his comeback and not speak on the women of the Women's National Basketball Association. If you thought that, then you must not know me very well. Now, yes, the WNBA draft took place, and listen, I was not potting, obviously. But congratulations to all the young women that were drafted in this year's WNBA draft. My only hiccup is that so many of them that were drafted got with teams and then got waived. So some of these girls are now possibly overseas now. The WNBA got to do better. They might need more teams because it was so many girls that got drafted that a lot of them got cut during training camp. And now a lot of them are possibly overseas right now. But I will say this, though, about the WNBA draft. We already know who the Rookie of the Year is. We might as well give Aaliyah Boston that award right now. Give her the award right now. She is the WNBA 2023 Rookie of the Year. Just give her the award now. Because the numbers that she is putting up this season already, beautiful. Beautiful. Now, granted, she's not leading them in scoring. She's averaging close to 15 points. Averaging close to 8 rebounds. Basically doing what she was doing in college. But these last few games, she's been showing the fuck out. Showing out. I love me some Aaliyah Boston. I truly do. I truly do. This is a testament to Dawn Staley. You understand what I'm saying? Like this is a testament to her being coached by Dawn Staley, and she is showing out this season in Indiana. Now, unfortunately, you know, they have a 3-6 record. But she is definitely shining a light on that team this season. She's making a tremendous impact on that team, even though they have a losing record. The Las Vegas Aces are 8-1. I mean, listen. We all suspect that it's going to be the Aces and the Liberty for the most part in the WNBA Finals. That is the consensus right now this season. Connecticut might have something to say about that. Connecticut is 8-2. They lost Jonquel Jones. But they still got Thomas. They still got DeWanna Bonner, who just dropped 40 on the Aces a few nights ago. In fact, they gave the Aces their first loss of the season. 94-77 was the score. And DeWanna Bonner had 41 points. She put on a clinic that game. The Liberty are 6-3. Stewie is doing what she's doing. Sabrina is doing what she does, even though she's hurt, which I hope is nothing crazy because, you know, she's on my fantasy team. You understand what I'm saying? So I definitely need Sabrina out there on the basketball court, even though she missed her last game. Sparks are 5-4. I'm very impressed. Shout out to Zaya Cook. Chicago Sky is 5-5. Who would have thought that? Dallas is 5-5. Who would have thought that? BG is back. Brittany Grinde is back. Unfortunately, the Mercury are 2-6. But Brittany looks good out there. She looks good out there. 20 points a game, almost 7 rebounds. She looks very good out there. The White Mamba is doing White Mamba things. Even though she didn't score no points in their last game. It ain't too often we say that Diana Taurasi didn't score no points. Shout out to Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles. Both of them had their numbers retired for their rightfully franchises. The Seattle Storm retired Sue Bird's number. And the Minnesota Lynx retired Sylvia Fowles' number. Congrats to both of them. Rightfully deserving. You can make a case that both of them is possibly the greatest player of their franchise's history. Now, again, with the Lynx, you got Maya Moore, you got Lindsey Whalen, you got Simone Augustus, you got Sylvia Fowles. Listen, let's listen. The best dynasty in WNBA history just might be the Minnesota Lynx. Now, I know some people out there might say Houston because they won the first 4 WNBA championships. I wouldn't argue with anybody if they said the Houston Comets. I would not argue with anybody. But you take away those you can't take away the championships, but outside of that, what did they accomplish? The Lynx was still relevant even when they didn't win championships. They were always in the playoff picture. We can't say that for Houston because when they broke that team up, pew, to the point where they're no longer in existence. Minnesota, unfortunately, now they're in growing pains. But when they was racking up those championships, even if they didn't win, they was in contention. They were most definitely in the title picture. So for me, I would say the Lynx is the greatest dynasty in WNBA history. I wouldn't argue with anybody that says the Houston Comets. I would not argue with you at all. But Minnesota right now, they're just dealing with growing pains. They're 2-7. I love Kalia. I love Kalia. And I'm glad that she's back after missing last season due to the birth of her baby. I'm glad she's back this season. I'm glad she's back. I love me some Cheryl Reeve. It's unfortunate that Diamond Miller is hurt, who I believe was the number 2 pick in this draft. It's unfortunate that she got hurt. Get well soon to you. But yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing out of the WNBA season so far. I'm liking what I'm seeing. Asia Wilson is going to be in the MVP conversation, obviously. Jackie Young has been showing out so far this season. Plum is Plum. Chelsea Gray is Chelsea Gray. Candace ain't really doing much. I mean, Candace is averaging a little over 8, 5 rebounds a game. Listen, I don't expect Candace to go out there and be the old Candace. So, for some people out there that might be saying, oh, she's washed. She's not washed. She plays a very intricate part in that team. She don't need to go out there and drop 16 points a game. She don't need to do that. She's battle-tested. Two-time WNBA champion. Two-time season MVP. One of the GOATs of the WNBA. They need her for leadership. And when playoff time comes, trust me, who knows? Maybe she would put those numbers up. But then again, when you got Asia Wilson, when you got Jackie Young, when you got Kelsey Plum, when you got Chelsea Gray, do you need to put those numbers up? I don't think so. But we shall see. We shall see. But I'm liking what I'm seeing out the Aces this season. I'm liking what I'm seeing out the season in particular. Very much proud. Very much happy with what I'm seeing. Now to close this out, I got to speak about my Yankees. I've got to speak about the Bronx Bombers. I've got to speak about my Yankees. And I must say this, I'm not too thrilled. I'm not too thrilled. We're 9 games behind in the American League East. Listen, there was a time where Tampa was running with this division. We're trailing the Orioles by 4 games. So I'm quite sure my young homie, Javon, is very happy with that because he hates my Yankees. Congratulations, Javon, by the way, on your degree. My boy, my young boy going to make noise in journalism. And sports journalism. My boy gonna make some serious noise. Y'all better watch out for him. We are 3rd in the American League East. 39-30. We just split the 2 games with the Mets in the Subway Series. And Judge is out. And we already know when Judge is not there, we're a whole different team. We are a whole different team when Judge is not there. So far this season, we are 30-19 when Judge plays. We're 9-11 without him. It's like the heart of the team. Well, he is the captain. So let's get that out the way. And for all consensus purposes, he is the heart and soul of the Yankees, because it's like when he's not out there, it's like, how can I say it? The energy, that's the spunk is all gone when Judge is not out there. We average 5 runs a game when he's out there. We only average 3.5 when he's not out there. And mind you, he got hurt. I forgot what it was. I know it was against the Dodgers. He was making a routine play, and I believe he hit his foot on the gate at Dodger Stadium. Now, I heard something earlier where they said Judge might be out to All-Star break. Now, if he's out to All-Star break, my Yankees is in some serious trouble. Serious trouble. Because y'all know the All-Star break ain't to July. We're only in June, the middle of June for that matter. And they saying that he might be out to the All-Star break? Shit. In the words of Clay Davis from The Wire, we in some trouble. And don't get me started on the pitching. Don't get me started. Listen, we paid Carlos Rodon. Hopefully I said his last name right. We paid him all this money in free agency to leave San Francisco, and he hasn't even pitched yet. He had some discomfort of the shoulder. We're now in June, and he ain't even been on that mound yet. Cole has done his thing. 15 starts, 7-1. So he's doing his thing as our ace. He's done his part. Cortez, okay, 5-2. Okay, somewhat still not impressed. Smith, I'm about tired of him. German, hopefully I said his last name right. I ain't too thrilled with him either. Our bullpen. I'm not going to lie, man. I'm just not thrilled with my Yankees this season. I'm just not. To the point where I haven't even gone to a game yet. We're now in June, and I haven't even been at Yankee Stadium yet. I just haven't. Now, I'm sure I'll be there before the season is out. But right now, I'm just not too thrilled with them. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just not too thrilled with my Yankees at this point. I'm just not. Something got to give. I am impressed with Gleyber Torres. I was hoping we'd have got rid of him at the end of the last season. I like Riz. I'm glad that he chose to come back. We brought him back in free agency. I like DJ LeMayo. I just hope he can stay healthy. And that's it. Stanton stays hurt, as usual. Again, Judge is hurt. Like, it's not too much to desire about my Yankees right now. I'm not even going to hold you. It's not too much to desire about them right now. I'm sorry, it's just not. But, I think I've spoken enough. I think I've dived in enough on this episode. Again, this was the return of the Dre. So, it's a wrap for this episode. I want to thank everybody for their continued support of the podcast. So many people reached out to me while I was gone and, you know, were saying that they hope all is well with me. They can't wait for me to come back. Take your time, yada, yada, yada. I appreciate it in ways that you can't imagine. I appreciate it. I do want to give a shout out, though. I want to give a shout out. You know, we have a Joker in the NBA. I want to give a shout out to Novak Djokovic in tennis. He just won the French Open. And that puts him tied with Serena Williams for most major titles with 23. Now, the question has come up, is he the GOAT of male tennis? I mean, listen, you got Roger Federer, you got Rafael Nadal. Listen, some people back in the day were saying Pete Sampras, but I don't think nobody is saying that anymore. I think it's more so Joker, Rafael Nadal, and Roger Federer. I think those are the three that everybody is saying at this point. I honestly can't say. The jury is still out, in my honest opinion. Now, with the major numbers of championships, he's got 23. You can make a case that he is. But I don't know, man. I honestly don't know yet. But I know this, though. I know Serena is the GOAT of women's tennis. I'll say that much. She's the GOAT of women's tennis, and ain't no debating in that. Ain't no Steffi Graf. Ain't no Court. None of that. It's Serena Williams. God damn it. But again, shout out to Joker for winning his 23rd career major.
So again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Y'all already know, y'all can catch y'all boy on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. Y'all can find me on Facebook, Dre Day. Y'all can find me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985, or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. The link is in the bio. And you can find me on Twitter, Dre Day 1985. So once again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. And I got to give one more shout out. One more shout out. Well, in fact, two more shout outs. This episode will drop before Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. My dad included. Happy Father's Day, Dad. And congratulations to the class of 2023. Whether it was pre-K, whether it was you're going to junior high school, whether it's you're going to high school, whether it's you're graduating from junior high school, whether you're graduating from high school, or rather you graduated college. Congratulations to the entire class of 2023. Have a great summer to all of y'all and be safe. And with that being said, in closing, I will say this. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Once again, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Enjoy yourselves. Be safe. Stay safe. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace.
What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day. And I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's WILL. SPADY@gmail.com or call him at 443-810-0384.